Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is for a schus, for refuah shleima, for shalom ben bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos daf samach tes. We will begin on daf samach tes. I'm going to have the first words on the top of Amid. Begins the Gemara, Tolalei Rav LeRebbe. Rav sent the following question to Rebbe, Beinichiti. So Rashi explains Beinichiti means is between the lines. He had sent him a letter with questions in halacha, and amongst the questions, between the lines of that question, was this question: what is the halacha that we're going to discuss? Taisus says that the Yerushalmi, in fact, corroborates this pshat of Ben Hashitim. But Rabbeinu Chananel explains that the question that Rav sent to Rebbe many questions on different subjects, and every question he would write on a separate piece of paper. And then he took all of those papers and he sewed them together. And this question that we're about to learn in our shiur now was a question that was found between the seams of all of these papers that were sewn together. Another pshat that the Rimigash says that Rav had this notebook, presumably, that had all these questions that he would ask, the retirement that he asked, and they were all sewn together into one notebook, and Rav took this question that he's about to ask, wrote it on a piece of paper and stuck it in between all those different questions. Why did this happen? So Rimigash explains that first Rav had written all of the different questions, all the different Divrei Torah that Rav wanted to present. And this question was not included in all of those different documents. But then afterwards, Rav remembered that he had this question. And after Rav remembered that he had this question, he put this question in as well. So he asked, Hoachim Sheshibdu, the brothers went and mortgaged the assets, the estate that they received from the father, Mahu, can the sisters who get supported, Mezoinus, can the sisters who get Panosa take from those assets that were mortgaged? And the question is, do brothers have a right to do this, to create this lien or not? Says the Gemara, Abi Yosef Chiya Kamei, Amalei, and he answered, Machru, if the brothers sold the assets that they got from the father, and now there are no other assets from where the women could collect, these sisters could collect what belongs to them, Oi Mishkanu, or they put up these assets as collateral, meaning that they borrowed money and they put up these assets as collateral to the whoever they borrowed money from. Said Amalei my nafkamina. So he said, Shemachro Shemishkanu, the Allah is Amalei Mafkanai. So he said, what's the difference? Bain Machro Ben Shanishkanu Maichin Lepanosa. We learned in the previous year that for the Nadunya that they're entitled to, they have a right to collect. And Rav that wrote this question, why did he use the word Mishkanu? Why didn't Imachru come by lay? If he meant to say that they were sold, that's what he should have written. In Mishkanu, and if he meant to say they were put up for collateral, come by lay, Nifkalu Mashkanu. He should have asked that question that way. Why did he use this interesting language of Mishkanu, of Shibdu? Says the Gemara, because really Rav Tavai Kamabayle. Rav really wanted to know what the halacha is in both of these cases. The Savar, and therefore he decided, Ik Sivnilum Machru Hanicha Ishalachli the Matsuyan. If they sold it, and I will get an answer that the daughters still have a right to collect, Kosh gave a Mishkanu, because let's think about it. If they were sold, they're completely in the property of the people who bought it. And if still the halacha would be that if they that they're in the property of someone else, the halacha will be that the daughters have their right to collect. So certainly in a case where the brothers just put up the property as collateral and the property is still under their control, that certainly the halacha would be that they will be able to collect. Koshkein b'mishkanu. But Rav thought to himself, if the answer will be that Emotzin, that the daughters do not have the right to collect, that may be only if the property was actually sold. That that's where the halacha may be that I'm not entitled to get back what I sold. And if I'll send a question about Mishkanu, if they will respond to me, the Emetzin, that the daughters don't have a right, so I'll certainly understand, I'll certainly understand that if they were sold, I don't have a right. But if they tell me that I'm allowed to get, that the daughters are allowed to get, that won't be an answer, because of course, Mishkanu, when they put it off for collateral, it's still under their control. It's still by them. But when they sell it, when it's not by them, maybe that's when the daughters don't have a right. So that's why Rav decided that Echtav Le Shibdu, I'm going to write this word Shibdu, the Mashmahachi, and like that, I'll be able to get a question, an answer to both of my questions. Rav Yochanan Amar, but Rav Yochanan disagrees. And Rav Yochanan says, Echad Zeh, in both of the situations that we have now discussed, the halacha is emetzin, the daughters do not have a right to collect from property that was put up as collateral or put up as, or certainly sold for their mezainis or for their mezainis. Ibailu, Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan had said this halacha, is it because l'shmile the Rebbe, that he did not hear what Rebbe said, that for Panosa they are allowed to collect, and suggest the Gemara. Ishmile, because if Rabbi Yochanan heard Rebbe's opinion, have a Makabale, he certainly would have accepted that opinion to be correct, and he would have reversed his opinion. Adoma, or ask the Gemara Shmile, or should we say that Rabbi Yochanan was well aware of Rebbe's opinion? V'loi Makabale, and he disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan. And the reason Rabbi Yochanan could agree with Rebbe is because there's going to have to be, the Rashba explains, a brisa that Rabbi Yochanan knew that holds not like Rebbe, because otherwise Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora, has no right to argue with Rebbe, the Tana. Toshma, says the Gemara, the Itmar, Mishemes, V'nichste Banas Uben. Somebody passed away, he left over two daughters and a son. And we know the halacha under those circumstances would be that the son is the yorish of all the property, the estate that the father left over. But as we've been learning, the daughters are allowed to get mezainis and panosa. The kadma harishayna v'natal isin nechasim. And the first daughter got when she was getting married, as we discussed in our previous year, took the 10% that she's entitled to for her wedding expenses. Now, says the Bryce of Lai Speaker Shneel Ligbois, the second daughter, before she could get married and collect her 10%, Achamesa Ben. The son died, and the son had no children. And since the son had no children, the two sisters were be his yorshim. So now the two sisters are coming, and the Yerusha that their father got, the future that the father left, they're going to divide between the two of them. But the second sister demands that before they divide this Yerusha, the halacha is that she should get her 10%, like her sister got her 10%, and then they should divide the Yerusha. Rabbi Yochanan says that claim is dismissed. Shnevitra, the second sister loses her share. So now the Ritva explains that certainly in a case that if the father had married off a daughter, The father only had daughters, and he had married off a daughter while he was alive, and he gave her whatever he gave her. And now the father dies, and there are only sisters, the two sisters, and the two sisters are his Yarshim. Certainly in this case, the Ritva says, the sister who's still alive cannot say to the sister who cannot say to the single sister, cannot say to her married sister that our father had given you 10% or whatever while he was alive, I should get the same, and then we should divide the Yerusha. What a father does while he's alive is not taken into consideration. The entire question of Al Gemara, says the Ritva, is only because all of this happened after he passed away. And Rabbi Yochanan says that in this case, the second sister gives up her share for Panasa because they have the regular din, as we just described, of two sisters who divide Yerusha. Amar Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina said, G'dayla mezu amru. Chazal said even more when it comes to the Panasa, Shemetzin Panasa, we go to the Lekuchis to collect Panasa. If the assets were sold off by the brothers, the sisters could go to them and say there was a previous obligation, we're taking this back. But we can't do that for Mazonis. Vat Amrit, Shnei Vitra. In other words, the Gemara's question is, here we see that Lekuchis, people who had bought those properties, fair and square, the halacha is that they lose it. So certainly a sister should have to give up her share. Vim Isa, but if Rabbi Yochanan heard Rabbi's opinion and held that you can't go to collect as the Gemara suggested from Lekuchis, namely, why didn't Rabbi respond to Rabbi Yochanan? Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say to Rabbi Chanina, Man Amra, you're saying that you're allowed to go to the Lekuchis, from where do you take this psak? Says the Gemara. V'dilma, who says that that's a, it must be that Rabbi was aware of this psak, but didn't agree with it. Says the Gemara, V'dilma loyalam shmili. Maybe we could still say that Rabbi Yochanan was not aware of Rabbi's opinion. V'chishmili, when he became aware of it, kabul, he did accept it. V'shani hasam. So if that's the case, that sisters Rabbi Yochanan now hold could go after the Lekuchas, certainly sisters should be able to go after each other. V'shani hasam. The case that we are now describing is different. Now there's plenty of money available. And when did Chazal say that we go after that the sisters entitled to Issa Nechosim? The Chazal said that we go after the Issa Nechosim only in a case where there's minimal or limited assets. And we want to make sure that the daughter will have from what to get married. But here where there's Baruch Hashem plenty, we don't have to do that. Amalei Rabbi Yemel Rashi, El Mi'ata, that now you're saying that since this daughter, the second daughter, is giving, why is she giving up her rights for Panasa? Because she's getting a decent Yerusha, and she'll have plenty from what to get married. So if that's the case, Ashka Metziah Ba'alma, what's going to be a case where a woman finds a Metziah? Dikka Revach Beisai, and she's going to have, and the Metziah is a very decent Metziah. Hachinami, are we also going to say, the Lo Yavina Law Issa Nechosim, that she's not entitled to Issa Nechosim, because she already has from what to get married, from this Metziah that she found? The Lo Yavina Law Issa Nechosim, Amalei, and Nor Revach Beisai, Mahani Nechsekamina. So he says, your question is not a good question, because we're not talking about external money that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about money from the father. And this girl now has a decent amount of money from her father. And since she has a decent amount of money from her father, we have no right, we have no reason to give her Issa Nechosim from that money. Amar Meimah, Bas Yereshes, a daughter that gets the Issa Nechosim, as we've been learning, Yereshes Hava, she's considered like Yerusha. It's not considered like she's a balas choyv. In other words, there are two reasons why somebody could get money in such a situation. How the halacha to view this? We could view it that the father owed money, and one of the people that he owed money is to his single daughters. Or we could say that the way the halacha looks at the situation is that the daughter is a Yairish, as even though where there are sons, we keep on repeating the daughters are not Yorshim. But in a situation where money was left, where as far as the Issa Nechasim is concerned, as far as that money is concerned, she is a Yairish. The daughter that's entitled to this Issa Nechasim, the halacha considers her a Yairish. What are you trying to say? That the brothers don't want to give her property for the Issa Nechasim. The question is, if she's a Yairish, she's entitled to a share in all of the property that the father left. If she's a Balas Chayiv, then she's not. Amalei in. The halach is that she's considered Ibai L'Sukah, or it says Ibai L'Sukah B'char Ara. If the brothers wanted to pay her off with one piece of property, Hachanami, the Laimatz Masalakla, she could say deserve a share in all the properties. Amalei in. The halach is that she is a Yairish, and since she's a Yairish, she's entitled to get a share, her share in the real estate. The brothers can't just give her cash and take care of their obligation that way. And moreover, she's entitled to get a piece of all of the property that the father left over. Ravashi Amar, so Ravashi says, Bas, the daughter who's getting the Issa Nechasim, Baal Schoiv have is Baal Schoiv, and therefore Allah is any way that the brothers want to satisfy that obligation is going to be satisfactory. And says the Gemara Afa Meima Hodabei, and he also agrees that the daughter is only considered like a Baal Schoiv. Domra Manuni Berei the Rev Nechumi, have a Karim Ne Kamei Da Meimer, I was once in front of a Meimer, Vosai Itzel Kamei, that have a Kabois Issa Nechasim. There was a woman that came and requested an Issa Nechasim, Vachazisi Leba Date, and I saw the Boilus Luke Bezuzay, that if they wanted to pay her off with the cash, have Mesalakle, they could do so. The Shame Ma'achi, I heard the brother say, Davakamale, Ila Havalan Zuzi, if we had cash available, Saliknu Bezuzay, that's how we would pay you off. Vishtik, and Amema remained silent. So the fact that Amema accepted that the brother said that we could pay, if we could have, we would just pay you off with cash. And Ramayma did not say anything. That's a proof that that is indeed halacha. And Tosus points out a very important halacha that's based on this. That if a dayan or a rav is there and hears somebody saying something and he doesn't say what you're saying is incorrect, then it's a proof that what he said is correct. Because if the dayan would have held that what he's saying is incorrect, then he should have said something. The fact that the dayan didn't say something is a proof that what was said was correct. Others disagree, because there was a situation where there was only one. They wanted to give her one piece of property and not give her a share in all the different properties. And she really wanted, explains the Ra'a, a piece of every property, a share in every property that the father had left over. And the brother said, no, we're only going to give you one piece. And that one property that equals what we owe you. And the fact that the Yonim did not say that they have to give from every piece a property, her share, is a proof that she's not a Yairish, she's only a Baal Chayiv. But the fact that just a dayan sitting there and not saying anything is not a compelling proof. Says the Gemara, Hashtad Amrit, so now that we've established, says the Gemara, that the daughter who's getting her Issa Nechasim is Baal Schoif Hava, is considered a Baal Schoif, so now the question is, who is considered the person that owes her the money? The Abba, her father, or the Achi, or her brothers? Ask the Gemara, Lamay Nafgamina, what's the halachic Nafgamina to know so? Says the Gemara, L'migva b'neina shalai b'shvua v'ziburis b'shvua. The halacha is that if somebody owes somebody else money and he can't pay it in cash, He pays it with karka. And often in Shas, we speak about different grades of property. Idyas is the best, Beinonis is average, and Zaburius is poor quality. The halacha is that when somebody owes somebody else money and he's collecting, you collect Beinonis. But there's a halacha, Ein Nefraim Menichsa Yisaimim, that we're collecting a debt that the father owed from the Yisaimim. The halacha is Ein Nefraim Menichsa Yisaimim Elamin Zaburius. You only get the poor quality property. And the halacha also is Ein Nefraim Elam Beshvua, the person who's owed the money only could get it by making a shvua that the father had indeed not paid off this obligation. So if the girls are collecting the debt of the father, just now the father passed away, so the halacha will be, they're collecting from the assignment. So A, they only are entitled to Zaburius, and B, as we just said, they would have to make a shvua. But if, on the other hand, it's considered as if they're collecting the debt of the brothers, so then they don't have to make a shvua, and they're entitled to Beinonis. So the Gemara wants to know, Mai, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara Toshma, the Ravina Agbi Labata the Ravashi, Mima Barei the Ravashi, Mibeinonis. He gave them Beinonis, and furthermore, they were titled Shloi B'Shvua. Mibrei the Rav Sama, Barei the Ravashi, but there was a difference. There was Mizaburis M'Shvua. So we see that from here that it's considered the Baal's Choyv of the sisters, and that's why they got the Beinonis v'lo b'shvua. Only when it went to the next, where Rav Sama, who was the son of Rav Ashi, and he passed away, and there he gave his assets to his son, that's when Rav Ashi's daughters only got Zaburius and a shvua. Says the Gemara. And as Rashi explains, Rav Sama was nifter while Rav Ashi was alive, and therefore the daughter of Ashi had to collect from the son of Rav Sama, who got it from his father. His father was the Baal Chayv, but to the daughters, he was a Yosem, with these very halachas are applicable. Says the Gemara, Shalach Rav Nechemi Bered Rav Yosef, L'Rabba Rav Huna Zutar, Min Adah, Kiyasa Itis L'Kamach. When this woman that wants to collect Issa Nechassim comes to you, Agba Issa Nechassim, collect the Issa Nechassim, Afilu Mimetzdabula. Even from the place where the grinder is sitting on, that he told him that the grinder, is that piece of property is hers, and she gets a share of that. We were in the yeshiva of Kahana, have a kemagbinin, we would collect the Issa Nechassim, afil me amle beisei, that even the rent that was owed to the Yarshim is considered karka, from which the daughters are entitled to their Issa Nechassim. Shalach le'rav Ana Rav Huna, Hunan Chavim Shalim, they sent the following language. Huna Chavim, Huna our friend Shalim, they're greeting him. And they tell him, Ki asa hetas l'kamach, when this woman will come to you to collect the Issa Nechassim, Agve Issa Nechassim, collect the Issa Nechassim. Have Yosef Sheshes Kamei. Rav Sheshes was sitting in front of Huna, and he was upset at the way he called Rav Huna, that he called him Huna Chavrin, as if he's just a friend. Amalei, Zil Amalei. So Rav Huna said to Rav Sheshes, go tell Rav Anan what. Go to Rav Anan, Shanti Mahe Madal Amalei, and he says, I demand that you say it. What I'm telling you to say, I'm demanding you say it exactly as I say it. And if you don't say it exactly as I say it, you'll be in Chayrim. Anan, he said the following words, Anan, Mimakarke Matatli, when we're collecting the Issa Nechassim for this daughter, do we collect it from property or from a tatlin? And he said, I'm also going to ask another question. When they're sitting by a marzicha, which the Gemara is going to explain soon what that means, who sits at the head of the table? So the Mefarshim tried to understand why was why were they so upset? Why was Rav Huna so upset on Rav Anan? They called him Hunan Chavrin. Rav Anan was a great individual. The Gemara says that Eliyahu Navi used to come visit Rav Anan. So why was Rav Huna so upset? So the Achronim explained the reason they were so upset because Rav Huna's name wasn't just Rav Huna, that we know that a person is considered Rav, is given the title Rabbi when he achieves that title. Rav Huna, that was his name from when he was born. And therefore he said he was upset that he was changing his name. This is my name, and you have no right to change my name. Says the Gemara, Ozer Rav Sheshel Kamed Rav Anan. So Rav Sheshel came to do what he was told. Omalei, Rav Sheshel said to him, Ma, Rabba, you're a great person. Rav Huna, Rabbi, the Rabba, and my Rebbe Rav Huna is even greater than you. Shemute Shemet, and Mandalemalei. And whoever will not say the wording that Rav Huna said should be said will be put into Cherem. And therefore he says to him, Vilai the Shemet, if not that Rav Huna would put me into Cherem if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, Loi have a kimna. I would never say what I'm going to say. And he said to him, Onan, Onan, Mimikarka Matatli. He said the wording that Rav Huna told him to say. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, in the Pirush of Ber Mayim Chaim. He says, what do we learn from this story? We learn that if somebody says to somebody else that somebody did something negative to him, even though he heard, he has to ask exactly what happened. You can't just repeat and assume what happened is the way it was told to you before you make sure that you know exactly what were the facts. Man Yosef, and then he said to him, Man Yosef Bei Mezeche Bereisha. Amalei, Ozer Rav Anan L'Kamei D'Marukva. Amalei, Chazamar, Heche Sholach Lei Rav Huna. Do you see exactly what happened here? That he called me Onan Onan. Void, Mazicha D'Sholach Lei, he sent me a question about the Mazicha, and he says to him, Lo Yadana Manihu, I don't know what a Mazicha is. Amalei, so Marukva says, Emily Easy, as the Chofetz Chaim just said, before I make any decision, I want to know exactly what exactly happened here. Omalei, so Rav Anan said to Marukva, Hachach v'ave maisa. This is exactly what happened. Omalei, gavra de lo yodah ma'inim mazicha. A person that doesn't even know the definition of the word mazicha, sholch lei Rav Huna hunan chavrin, addresses Rav Huna in such a way, you're not considered such a great Talmud Chacham, obviously, because you don't even know the definition of the word Mazicha, and that's how you address Rav Huna. So ask the Gemara, so what indeed is the Mazicha? What is the Mazicha? And the Yaivitz, in taking this Gemara into consideration, says that the reason Rav Anan acted the way he acted, because it was very common in those days for people to address each other just by their name. And therefore, Rav Anan assumed that calling Rav Huna Hunan Chavrin is not considered derogatory. But Rav Huna, and obviously so was the opinion of Marukva, felt that the Kavra Torah is so important, they had no right to speak that way. So what is the Mazicha? Answered the Gemara, Ovel. The Ksiv Koyam Hashem, Al Tova Beis Merzuch, Pasuk in Yirmiya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiya that he shouldn't console Klai Yisrael when they're Avelis. So we see the Mazach is the Avel. Amar Rabavua. So now the Gemara says, Menayin LaAvel Shemesa Barosh. How do we know if there's a table and the Avel sits at the head of the table? And the Rishonim explain that we try to do different things to console the Avel. And one of the things that we do to console him is have him sit at the head of the table because like that, he will feel better that people respect him and people give him that honor. And in fact, the Shal Tshuvas, Shal Tshuvas, says that the year that an Ovel is an Avelis, so he's depressed. And one of the things that we should do to calm, to make him feel better, is that whenever we have Birchas HaMazon, he should be the person that should lead the Birchas HaMazon. Says the Gemara, Amar Vuh, Menayim L'Ovel Shemesa Barosh, Shnema Efcha Darkam, Veshe Barosh, Veshkin Kemelch B'Gedud, Kesha Avelim Yenachim. But as the Gemara, Yenachim means, Yenachim Acher Mashma. The Ovel is the one that gets consoled. He's not the one that consoles others. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yenucham Ksiv. The way the pasuk should be read is Yenucham, that he is the one that consoles other people. Mazut Rav Mahacha, V'sar Merzach Zeruchim. The person, Mar V'zach, the person who is depressed, and he's not able to calm himself down, Nasizar Lusaruchim, he should be the person sitting at the head of the table where people who come to be Menachem Avol him seem at the head of the table. I actually saw the Rebbe Yoshev Zatzal says the reason that the Avol is put at the head of the table is because sometimes you could come to the home of an Avol and you don't exactly know who Rachman Tzlan is the Ovel. But an Ovel sitting at the head of the table, it'll be very clear who is the individual who is the Ovel. Omer Rava, says Rava Hilchasa, Mimakarkala, Mimatla Matatli. We go back that to the halacha, where do the girls get their mazonos and panasa from that's left over from these, that they're entitled to from the estate of their father? Says the Gemara Hilchasa, Mimakarkala Matatli. Bein Mezayna, Bein Ksuba, Bein Panasa are all collected only from the real estate and not from Metatlin. But as we've quoted many times, there's a Takanas HaGa'inim that Bezman Azeh, the Ksuba, is collected from the Metatlin. And the Rishonim point out that even though the Ksuba, the Panasa, and the Mezoinus that we are speaking about in our Shurim are not included in that Takanas Tegoinim, the Minik has become that even Mezoinus and Panosa are collected from Metatlin. However, the Rishonim, I did see, make the Ramban, the Rashba, make a very interesting point. This, we've learned two ways of how to determine how much the daughters are entitled to. One way of learning how much the daughters are entitled to is by deciding, well, what would have the father have given? And the other way is if we can't make that determination, then they're entitled to Isa Nechasim. So the Paiskim want to suggest, the Rashba and the Ramban, as we just said, want to suggest that only when the girls are collecting according to what the father, what we assume the father would have wanted that they should get, that's where the halacha says that that's where the halacha becomes that they don't only collect from karka, they could also collect from metatlin. But if they're collecting from the isa nechasim, which we've been learning that in a case where we don't know what the father would have given, so they get the 10%, the 10% is always only given from karka and not from metatlin. Says the Mishnah, Hamashlish Mos, if somebody leaves over money with somebody who he trusts, Labitoi, to buy property for his daughter to take care of her when she needs to get married, and then the father passes away, Vihi Ameris, and the daughter says to this third party, Nemen Balalai, I want to give the money to my father, to my husband, when I get married, and my husband will do with it as is necessary. It says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Yasa Shlish Mashosh Shlish Biyodei. The Shlish should be due as he was instructed, Divrei Remeya. Rabbi Yossi says that what the daughter asks for should be done. V'chi ein al soda. Even if the Shalosh already bought a property, V'hi writes L'machra, and she would want to sell it, Harei Mechur Machshev, she has a right to sell it. And since she has a right to sell it, just do what she said. And as Tosis points out, Rameya's reasoning is very understandable, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. The basis for Rameya's opinion is because mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Whatever the father said, the shalosh has to fulfill. So does Rabbi Yossi disagree? So Rabbi Yossi, Tosis says that Rabbi Yossi doesn't disagree with the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Rather, the way to understand Rabbi Yossi's opinion is because she could have sold it when she's going to get it, and therefore giving to her is not contrary to what the father wanted. Says the Gemara, Bamedvar Mamurim, that when was that said? The Gedoyla, Abuk Tana, Amask Tana Kulum. Tanabon, Mos Hamashim, Hamashlish Mos Lachaisnai, Lekapman Sod Labitai. Somebody left over money for his son in law to buy a property for his daughter. Vihi Ameris. And the father passed away, and the daughter says, "Yinosn labali, the money should be given to my husband, minasuin." Says the Brisa. If she said the minasuin that they already had nasuin, then a shus biyoda. We give the money to the husband. We give the money. Minaerison yasa shlish mashushus biyoda divrei Rameya. Rabbi Yosimer hemdaila. If the daughter is a gedola, bayman and suin bayman and erison, even if she only had erison with her husband, her shus biyada, ketana bayman and suin bayman and erison, yasha shlish mashushus biyada. Ask the Gemara, my benayu. Let's exactly identify what is the subject of the machlokes of Rameya and Rabbi Yossi. Ilema ketana min and suin ike benayin, that there was nasuin, but the girl is still a ketana. Says the Gemara, that Rameya saw Arushus Biyada, that since she had already nesuin, she has the right to say, give the money to my husband. That even by an erisin, that even by nesuin, we only respect her wishes by gedoyla, but not if she's a ketana. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to explain the machloikis, Ema Seifa. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Al b'ktana, ein masik tana klum. Ask the Gemara, that was the final statement of our Mishnah, as we just learned a few moments ago. And now the question is, ha man k'tana lo? Who is the one that made that statement? Ilay Rabbi Yossi, if we're going to say it's Rabbi Yossi, then Rabbi Yossi is saying that since she's a k'tana, even though she had nesuin, we don't give her the money. That we can already learn from the Resha that the Ketana doesn't have any authority. If she got a property and she'd want to sell it, she would have the right to sell it. Now, who has the right to sell a piece of property? Gdoila the Basavina. A Gdoila has the right to sell a piece of property. In such a girl we listen to, a Ktana de la Basavinihi, but a Ktana who doesn't have the ability to sell property, loy, we don't listen to her. So Rabbi Yossi is obviously not speaking to a Ktana. Elo, how must we explain the Sefer of the Mishnah? That's going to Rameya. And the way to understand the Sefer is as follows. Rameya's opinion, as we've been learning throughout the Shir, is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. We have to do what the father said. To which we now learn, when must the shlish do what he was told? Only in a case where there was erisin only. Avam nesuin. If this girl had nesuin, harashus biyadai. Furthermore, the medvar mamurim, we now made a difference between erisin and nesuin. But says the Gemara, when was that difference said? Begdoila, av b'ktana, even though it was nesuin, if this girl is still a ktana, ein ma'aseh ktana klum, and we don't pay attention to what she said. Ella says the Gemara Gedola min erusin ikke benayu. What's going to be the subject of the machloikas between Rameya and Rabbi Yossi? It's going to be limited to one case where she's a gedola and there was only erusin, and Rabbi Yossi, and that's where Rameya is going to say that even though she's a gedola, but since there was only erusin, we don't do what she says. And Rabbi Yossi holds that since she's a gedola, even though there was only erusin, we listen to what she says. Itmar, says the Gemara of Yehuda Shmuel, halach Reb Yossi, that the halach is that once she had Erisin and she's also a Gedoyla, we follow her instructions. And Rav Amar, Rav Nachman, that you have to have two factors to listen to her. She has to have a Gedoyla and Nesua, because he says the halach is Kremeya.